B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, more Patriots fallout here on hour number four, Felger and Mass, coming up on 5:06 in the evening. We also did a little Gordon Hayward discussion with the Celtics, rumblings that he's looking to get out, opting out to leave, not opting out to re-sign, opting out to leave, and how you really want, if you're the Celtics, you want to sign and trade, because if he just leaves as a free agent, it's not like you get his salary slot back. It's not like you get that $30 million. It goes away because you're over the cap. So you want to sign and trade, which has led to some bigger rumor mongering about, are the Celtics really looking to move some bodies? And they might be. They might be. So hopefully we have an interesting offseason here for the Celtics. I think they desperately need it. I think they need a shake up there in that locker room.
It's going to happen fast, too, because obviously it's a consolidated offseason and they haven't even started it yet. Like, you're looking at the next, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks that it really kicks up. The draft's on the 18th, right? November 18th. So, you know, before that, you got to have a little wiggle room to give teams a chance to, you know, affect their rosters.
Okay, this that and the Patriots. Back to your thoughts on everything. Here's Lester in Methuen. Hi, Lester.
Hey, guys. Lester calling from Methuen. Basically, I want to know why is no one talking about the Dolphins. I haven't heard anyone talk about it. I really think they have a legit shot at taking the AFC East. It's, no one wants to talk about it. It's almost like my divorce on Thanksgiving. They have a bunch of young talent, a great coach, and now they have Tua coming in. And, Stacey, if you're watching this, please let me see the kids again. But like I was saying, that great game plan, great coach, young talent, and veteran leadership with Fitzmagic on the bench. Love to hear what you guys think about
that. Yeah, Lester, good call.
I agree. I'm with him. I said this yesterday.
Of course they have a legit shot.
Yeah, I said this yesterday. Give me another week, and I might pick Miami.
If this is a 9-7 division, of course they have a shot.
Yeah, to me, again, I told you, I felt like the whole division was between 6-10 and 10-6.
They have one real win. It's at San Francisco. Otherwise, it's Jacksonville and Miami, and they're still thin at certain positions.
Jacksonville and Miami?
Are their wins, yeah.
They are Miami.
I mean, New York. I'm sorry, the Jets. The Jets. Jacksonville and the Jets.
Yeah, I'll tell you, though, they're competitive. Miami was turning a corner a little bit last year. Murray, I'm not telling you they're good.
Yeah, we're talking nine
average.
Wins. Yeah, we're talking, does nine wins get you the division?
Yeah, average wins the division, maybe. And, I want to see what Tua looks like, because I think they'd be dumb to play Tua and then say, well, he's not ready, and put Fitzpatrick back in. So I don't think that's going to happen. So it's all on Tua now, but I don't think they're out of it.
Here's Jose and Methuen on why Gordon Hayward may want to leave. Go ahead, Jose.
Well, hi, by the way, like your show, guys, I think one of the main reasons why players don't want to stay actually in Massachusetts completely, like all across the board with baseball, football, and all that, is that I personally think, like, what they do is, like, after they get every little bit out of them, like, after they play their asses off and after they do everything for the team, they'd be like, all right, it's time for you guys to go. So, bye-bye. We don't need you no more. And other thing is, like, the fans. Like, we the fans, I'm not going to take myself out of it, but once a player is a superstar, whatever, and they start doing bad, we start ripping them off right away. Okay. Oh, you guys got to leave. You got to do this. Bill Belichick has been winning for 20 years. 20 years. They have about a couple weeks. Oh, he's done. He should be out. He should be this. He should be that. Maybe players look at that and say, I don't want to go through that stuff.
Well, maybe. But I would separate the Celtics experience a little bit, though. I mean, the people are not as hard on the Celtics or their players as other teams in town. They're just not. It's just the only fan base in town where you could suck in a playoff game, and as you're walking off the floor, they chant and clap, let's go Celtics. They keep doing that. So it's a little bit of a different experience over there. I don't feel the heat is on those players nearly as bad as the other teams. Not even close.
No, it can be a hard place to play if you fail to meet expectations. It can be. I think that that's what makes it the winning great here. Like, 'cause I also think the winning means more if you win here. And so, you know, the lows will be low, but the highs will be high.
Do you feel that's why Gordon Hayward may not want to be here?
No. I think the core of the Celtics issues in that locker room. And when I say in that locker room, I think they have a gap. Call it a communication gap, a generation gap, call it whatever you want, between the veteran players and the young guys, the veterans who know what it takes but aren't good enough, the young guys who have the talent, or at least one of them does, but don't understand the patience aspect of it or what it takes.
Jamie's in Rutland on the Pats. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, I was wondering,
if you guys think the Patriots, I know there's talk about trading Gilmore, if you think the Patriots would consider trading him for a first-round pick and to try to get Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, Jamie, they're not getting Trevor Lawrence. Just, like, who's ever telling you that, tell them to put a sock in it. Okay, not happening.
Honey, ask him.
And I don't think a first round. I don't think they're going to get a first round pick for Gilmore.
Would you take a second?
I don't think so.
I would.
I'm not willing to do it yet.
Is starting to bug me. Why can't they get a first round pick for him? Because of his age?
Yep. And you got to pay him, and so you got to.
He's been terrible this year. That's why.
Well, I mean, maybe that's part of it. But Jalen Ramsey gets two, you know, first round picks, and Adams gets two first round picks. Those guys are in their 20s,
mid 20s, about 25,
and going into their first real big contract. So that. You know, Gilmore's already gotten that big contract. He's not going to get a second.
So he's a depressed asset that fast? Is he the reigning defensive player of the year?
I think so. Oof. At 31, yeah.
Yeah, I said this the other day, and you guys, I think, told me I was nuts. I'd take a second for him. No, I don't want bottom of the second. Okay,
but so a second from a bad team. Why is a bad team giving you a second-round pick?
How about a mediocre team? Can you give me the number 45 pick? Can I get that?
I don't know if I want to do that.
I would do it. I would totally do it because, again, A, I think that they can more easily replace him than other people because they have a lot of defensive backs. Second, I don't think he's playing that well. See you later. He's gone anyway.
He's gone.
At the end of the year, he's toast. Forget it. He's out.
Well, there's another year in his contract.
Yeah. You think he's going to play for that number?
I mean, he wouldn't play for it this year. That's true. Chris in the car on the Pats. Hi, Chris.
Hey, I'm a lifelong Bills fan who's lived in New England since 2000. The amount of joy I'm getting from watching this fan base unravel can only be described as Murray-esque. You guys are 6 weeks into my last 20 years. This whole song and dance about trying to make excuses and, you know, finding joy in the smallest of moments that this team has put out this season is visceral to me. And let me ask you, are you guys ready for 314 more games of this? Because this is where it's headed if they don't send the quarterback of the future here pretty soon.
So, Chris, for you and your Bills fans, you better win this week, man. You better win this week because, again, you're reveling in it, right? Pats are reeling. Pats are 6 weeks into my last 20 years. Good line. So you think we're headed to Bills territory. We're the Bills. So they're 2-4. Feels like the team is kind of on this verge of quitting the way they played the last couple of weeks. They're getting the worst quarterback play in the league. So, again, not only do you Bills fans not have to contend with Tom Brady this time around, the Patriots suck at the position. They've gone from the best to the worst at that position. You're 2.5 games in first place. You're at home. You have them right where you want them. Finally, after 20 years, you got the Patriots. You're on their necks. Oh, don't lose.
And if you want to beat this team, because I don't think the Bills can run, certainly not like the Niners, you're going to have to be efficient and surgical throwing the ball. Do you trust Josh Allen to be able to do that?
What if the Bills aren't? What if the Bills can't win this one? I'm not big at laughing at fan bases and opponents, but I will laugh at you, sir. I will laugh at you. You poor, pathetic. How? And then you go home to Buffalo where it's rainy and miserable and you're still in Buffalo and you still can't beat the Patriots. Oh, my God. That's going to be nice.
And it's still 1975.
It's like, oh, don't lose this week, Bills fans. Don't lose this week.
See, I think they can run on the Patriots, Murray.
It'll throw you into a massive depression. You think they can run on the Pats?
I do. Yeah, and in fact, if I were them, I'd have Allen run wild in this game. The Patriots will be concerned about Beasley. They'll be concerned about Diggs because Buffalo does have wide receivers now. You know, even if the quarterback can't get the ball there. Hell, the Bills almost beat him up there last year. Let's not get ridiculous about it. The Bills almost won that game up there last year.
Yes. The Patriots were ass for the second half of the year. They sucked in the second half of last year. They only looked good in one game. The Bills.
At home.
At home. Yes. The Bills at home. So that was another game where everyone else was getting in on the Patriots at that juncture. Effing the Dolphins and Fitzpatrick beat you here. Okay? So where'd you go in the second half of the year? I can't remember.
4-5.
Something like that, right? One of the few weeks you look like a real team? Buffalo.
The only week.
So let's see. Oh, the Bills, if you lose this one. Wow. Wayne and Grafton, go ahead.
Naz, I'm going to make you feel special because I actually agree with you. Yesterday you were talking about Cam Newton. He's a puddle. He is the Daniel Bard of the Patriots. He sucks and blows. And you got criticized for using that word suck too much yesterday, but, you know, you should keep on using it. Don't change. Sucks and blows applies because everything does suck and blow, just like Tony Robbins. I'm 74 years old. I'm going to listen to him. I'll walk out into traffic with a tall boy. Peace out.
Okay, peace out, Wayne. Thank you. Here's a quick break. We're back with more right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Also wanted to ask you a quick question about Cam Newton. It's been hard not to notice that his play has slipped ever since he came down with the virus and he's returned from it. Is there any concern that maybe he still is not completely recovered from the virus or still showing some effects of it or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's any, we would list it on the injury report if there was, but I don't think he's had any symptoms the whole way.
Cam Newton has been so bad the last couple weeks that people are wondering if he's in some sort of COVID hallucination.
Yeah, fog.
That's how bad. I mean, he's playing that way. I don't blame you for, like, wondering about that because it's been that bad.
But good for Belichick for putting an end to that today, hopefully.
So the whole question bothers you, Murray. Why?
It does. It's just more excuse making. This is just more of like, well, the practice, we weren't able to practice. It was practice. That's why they played so bad. But it was lack of practice. You want them to play better? They need to practice. Well, they got to practice and they still sucked. And this COVID brain fog thing, too, it's... you don't get it when you're asymptomatic to begin with. All the other NFL players that had COVID, they're back playing. They're fine. What happened to the brain fog with those guys? Trump, who's 75 and not in the best shape, if we're being honest, 5 days later after he's getting it, he's running around like he's a teenager. Like,
he got a nice little shot of steroids. There,
whatever it was.
Anyway.
But still, like.
Football players do that, too.
Let's not use this COVID brain fog thing as an excuse. Because, again, did he have it in against the Raiders when you played them? No, he didn't have that because he wasn't diagnosed with a positive test yet. It's just an excuse. I can't stand it because I've heard too many excuses coming out of this team and from the fans over the last few weeks because they played so badly. Maybe they just suck.
Maybe Newton just sucks.
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, that's
a scary reality.
Yeah, right. That's the one that, where do you go from there? This is why, like, to me, the last couple of weeks are most alarming because I just feel like he can't process it.
That is by far the scariest. I mean, a bad throw here or there, he's not been the most accurate guy. You had to accept some of that. He's not running the offense. I mean, and again, just, you know, the day after you get to watch the clips and the screen grabs and see some of the bigger analysis from, like, Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal and the Monday Night Patriots show and the other guys that put out clips and all this, and it's... Oh, there's just so many opportunities for Newton, if nothing else, just to, in time and in rhythm, dump the ball off to Edelman or White and gain yards and move the chains and just run the offense. And he's not doing it. He's late. He doesn't see it. The ball's not in the right spot. And it's really kind of simple stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just as simple as it's not a good fit, or we're now seeing why 31 other teams wanted no part of this guy.
I mean, to me, this was, this was the concern coming in. I think we all felt this way. I mean, I say like it's just me, but the fit, you know, and we focused a little bit on the off-field part of it, the personality of Newton versus the personality of Belichick, but the real concern was on the field. You know, you have a guy that has basically been a, you know, multidimensional quarterback who can do all kinds of stuff, but the Patriots run a precision offense from the pocket. That's what they run. And so now week one, I was encouraged. I didn't think they'd be able to run them 15 times like they did in the Miami game. But I thought overall, okay, they're going to tailor to the offense. This guy, like, really mold it. I feel like they've gotten away from that a little. In the Seattle game they threw, so it was effective. It worked.
Well, they definitely haven't run like they did in those games.
I mean, but to me, it feels like they've gotten away from that. And I think that the only way it's going to work with this guy is to go back and do that.
Okay, back to your thoughts here, as promised. John's in Connecticut. Hi, John.
Hey, Mike. So I want to personally thank you after making that port comment on the QB situation, because I feel like your takes are about 20% accurate. So that gives us about an 80% chance of recovery there, I hope.
I said could be. I gave myself some wriggle room. I gave myself an eye. I said you could be poor.
Listen, it's been so bad these past 3 weeks. I will take any sliver chance of hope. I called because the Cam Newton situation, when he was being successful, the hot take was that, hey, these weapons are just developing so great now under him because he's being patient with them. How's that working out?
It's not working out at all. Oh, my God. It's gone in the other direction. I think, I'll say this. I mean, just the opposite. Jacoby Myers is showing signs of life. N'Keal Harry, get out of my face. Like, I'm done. But the thing about could be porked, it was all based on that Schefter comment about how little they're spending at quarterback and how much flexibility they have when they want to go get one next year. Who are they going to go get? Who are they going to go get? Who are the free agents? I have the list in front of me. You want it?
Sure.
Okay, and I'm just going to go from, this is listed in alphabetical order of their team, their current team.
Okay.
Brent Hundley, Matt Schaub, Robert Griffin III, Matt Barkley, Mitch Trubisky.
No.
That name keeps coming up, man.
No.
Andy Dalton, Dak Prescott, Tim Boyle, A.J. McCarron, Jacoby Brissett, Phillip Rivers, Mike Glennon, Tyrod Taylor, Nathan Peterman, actually got a call on him before, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Sean Mannion, I don't know who that is, Brian Hoyer, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Colt McCoy, Joe Flacco, Nate Sudfeld, Joshua Dobbs, Geno Smith, C.J. Beathard, Nick Mullins, Blaine Gabbert, Ryan Griffin. Yeah, those are your free agent quarterbacks.
You said a name in there that I would take a shot on. No, it was earlier than that. I forget. I already forget who the hell I would take a shot on.
Mullins is restricted, so Murray, you have to actually give up draft picks.
He was right around A.J. McCarron because I thought, I would take... Oh, Jacoby Brissett. That's who it was. Brissett.
So that's what you're saving your money for? That's why the brilliance of Bill Belichick creating all this flexibility so he can go splurge on Jacoby Brissett?
Oh, yeah. No. He's the answer.
3 years after you traded him for pocket change, pocket lint?
Yes.
Oh, please.
Isn't it pathetic?
So this is why I'm saying you could be porked, because the free agent year for quarterbacks was this year, not next year.
Correct.
Okay, so there's no good ones in free agency. The draft, I'm sorry, you're not getting Lawrence. You're not going to have a top five pick. So you're going to get the second, third, fourth quarterback off the board. Who the hell knows what that is? And then what? You're trading one? You're trading for one. So unless, and again, Murray, I hate to say it to you, you should be thankful if it's Garoppolo coming back here next year, because who else?
Yeah, see, this is, again, I never, ever imagined they'd be in this spot.
Or you're picking up the trash from someone who did go draft Trevor Lawrence or, whoever the second or third quarterback is. So then you're talking Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones or Haskins with Washington or Minshew in Jackson. Is any of this appeal to anyone?
No, not really. I mean, a couple of those names, when you start getting into Daniel Jones and Darnold, you can at least say, well, they've only been in the league for a couple of years. Mm. Crap development organization. The Giants aren't what they were either.
Those are flyers.
Right.
The only name I've mentioned that I would feel good about is Garoppolo. And not that he's a Hall of Famer, Murray.
No, I know, but it'll make you competitive. I see what you mean.
He's an NFL quarterback who Bill can work with, and I can't say that about anyone else I just named.
No, again, this is all relates to the cavalier attitude that the Patriots had at the position, that they could trade Jimmy Garoppolo and trade Jacoby Brissett and then let Tom Brady walk and just pluck the next guy off the street. No problem. We'll get the next guy in the draft. We'll get the next Brady in the draft in the sixth round, as if somehow that's a common occurrence. It was a very cavalier attitude to take with the most important position in sports. So this is what you get.
What is the plan there? Dan and Carver. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, so Newton sucks. The Pats are porked. And I want to know why we should have any faith that GM Belichick has the ability through either the draft or the free agency, based on the current state of this roster and the past drafts he's done, why should we have any faith that he can rebuild this mess?
Because he's done it before, is why. But I'm telling you, you should. If you've lost faith because the last couple of years, that's justified. Coaches and executives lose their fastball just like players do.
Sure.
And maybe it's not just a cold streak. Maybe it's passed him by. It's possible. And I'm not going to disabuse you of that. If you feel that way, you feel that way.
I mean, when you started going through those names earlier in the last couple of drafts,
I mean,
holy crap.
They've got nothing out of it. Jennings got his big chance here against San Fran, and he freaking sucked.
He did. He was brutal in this game.
Okay. Uche, where's he been? Where's Uche? Is he hurt?
No, he came off the IR.
No, he's back off the IR, yeah.
Okay, Duggar's hurt, okay?
Yep.
So that'll give you, I guess, one pass for it, but did Uche even play in this game? Was he inactive?
That's a good question.
I think he was inactive. He's not showing up on my playlist. I don't think he played.
I'll find out.
Okay, so it's like all these guys you drafted on defense, you got Bupkis out of. Juwan Williams, you drafted in the second round last year, is just playing special teams. He got no defensive snaps. A kid that looked like he was doing something, Chase Winovich, has been buried the last couple of weeks. He only played 13 snaps in this game.
These two tight ends have done nothing.
So that's offensively. I'm just sort of focused on the defense. Like, there's no you're not getting anything out of that.
No, zero.
And boy, did I, you know, I did get right, caller, Mr. 20%. You know, Duggar might turn out to be a player, but boy, did I hate that. The whole
Lenore Ryan taking a reach.
Trading out of the first round. They were sitting there with the 23rd pick in the draft, and they traded down to the whatever second round to get a Division II player. Meanwhile, you know who went in those slots, and this is courtesy of George, who sent in an email. Okay, so in that between, they took Duggar at 35, I think. Okay, so between 23, which is where they were, and 23 and 35, which is where they took Duggar. I'm sorry, 37. So between 23 and 37, they passed on Patrick Queen, who is a safety from LSU, who leads the Ravens right now in tackles and forced fumbles. They passed on Kenneth Murray, who's a linebacker, who's second on the Chargers in tackles.
Both of those guys were guys that easily could have taken, they were connected to.
Okay, so
the draft prognosticators linked them to those players.
Both those guys are starting and leading their teams, making big impacts. Never mind the receiver, Ayuk, who we just saw here in San Francisco, who can play. Passed on him, too. For another effing safety in the middle of the second round, after Duke Dawson and Joe Juwan Williams and...
Oh, watch out if Jordan Love can end up playing, too. That's the other thing.
Okay, well, that's get back to me in 2 or 3 years on that. But just in the short term, he passed on defensive guys that have stepped in day one, year one, making immediate impact.
Absolutely.
To trade down for a second-round safety from a Division II school.
After they signed Chung to an extension.
Ugh.
When they were thin at linebacker in the first place, and that's before Hightower even opted out.
So if you've lost faith in Belichick, I don't blame you. I'm still going to, you know, assume he can figure it out because he's pretty good.
We all just got to hope.
Okay, but if you're saying the last couple of years have done enough to turn you, I'm not going to argue with you. You have enough evidence on your side of it. Here's Big Jim Murray's update, and we're back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
While I'm a steamroller, babe, I'm bound to roll all over you.
Sneak from Brady and he'll power it home for the touchdown.
There's just never been anybody better at this.
Red zone chance, looking for Gronk. He's got it for a touchdown.
I mean, that's a dime.
Deep shot to the end zone for Miller, and it is caught for a touchdown.
You want to talk about breadbasket right there. I mean, you just throw it into a 5-gallon bucket. Here you go.
Great. Looking for Godwin. And it is hauled in for the touchdown.
Well, I'm a cement mixer, a churning urn of burning funk.
Brady, back to the end zone for Tyler Johnson, and he hauls it in for a touchdown. That puts Tom Brady into the number one spot all time in NFL history in touchdown passes as he finds Johnson, the rookie.
Go ahead, let her rip, Tom. Beautiful throw.
Well, I'm a demolition derby, yeah. A hefty hunk of steaming junk.
That's right, Maz is making tribute songs to Tom Brady. The hell's gotten into you?
I just think that last couple of weeks, and Sunday in particular, he looked awesome. It feels to me like, and I understand what Bedard's saying, they've played bad teams. Although the Raiders aren't that bad. I mean, you know, I know the Patriots beat them, but the Raiders are decent, I would say. I just think Brady looked terrific on Sunday. Terrific. And since that absolute debacle against the Bears, The Bucs have looked dynamite. They absolutely obliterated the Packers. Again, a team that had been unbeaten.
Those are good wins. The Packers and Raiders are good wins. Raiders on the road, those are good wins.
So again, but you know, as I say it, Bedard says they're bad wins. Both of those teams are playoff teams. They're close to it.
Quality wins.
They obliterated the Packers. Obliterated them. And this game, they put up 45, and they've committed four penalties in two games, all in this past game. The week before, they had zero. I just think, I don't know, I feel like Tampa's getting traction. That's what it feels like to me.
Okay, back to your phones. We'll wrap it up with your wonderful phone calls. And we got Jake in Mansfield on an NFL trade today. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys? I'm just wondering what the Dallas is doing.
Good like, God. Well, what makes you think seriously you can do that, Jimmy? I just want to make sure you're...
He knows he can't.
No, I want to make sure too. Jimmy is...
I love the passion, though.
No, good passion, but like that one's not even close.
No, I meant the caller knows he can't say it, and he said it anyway.
Ben and Gardner on our Gordon Hayward conversation. Hi, Ben.
Hi. The rumor is that Indiana is interested in Gordon Hayward. If we can convince Gordon and Indiana to do a sign-and-trade, the clear target is Miles Turner. He's a true center. He can hit threes. He can play perimeter defense. He does the pick and roll like Daniel Tice would. So I guess the issue is whether or not we can actually get Gordon to agree to sign and trade. I wouldn't be sure that Indiana would want to give him a max contract, for example.
Okay. I don't think it's I don't think he's looking at a max contract. I think he's looking at, lower. He was going to make 30 plus here, but only one more year. If he signs for 25 for 4 years, he's got, whatever, 70 more million guaranteed dollars, just a lower AAV. The rumors, someone emailed me and said the rumor out there this is just rando, not even brown check mark. Like, what's worse than a brown check mark? Like, what's just a random emailer?
No check mark.
Yeah, no check mark.
That's all, random emailer.
But every once in a while, you get a hit out of one of those.
Yeah, right. So this is like a phone call. This is like someone saying, yeah, what about, we trade Gilmore for Trevor Lawrence, right? So this is, but a three-way trade with Philly, with Kemba Walker on the way out and Gordon Hayward on the way out, Gordon Hayward to Indy, Kemba Walker to Philly, and Ben Simmons to Boston. Is that being rumored?
It wouldn't shock me if Kemba Walker was on the block.
Wouldn't surprise me either.
Me neither.
In a lot of ways, he would make more sense with Embiid. No power struggle there between. They have the opposite problem there. Philly, the young guys are fighting, although I guess the same thing's happening here. I shouldn't put it that way. But look, I'd be open to that.
You picking up any rumblings there, Stu?
In the last few minutes when this was mentioned to me off the air, I asked somebody not affiliated with the local team if Kemba Walker might be on the block. There's rumbles.
Imagine.
There's rumbles that Walker's name is out there.
Imagine what this show could do with Ben Simmons.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Ooh-wee, another guy who can't shoot on this team.
Well,
yay.
I can't stand the player. I really can't stand him in Philly.
Good content, though.
But what if he were here?
I think in a lot of ways, he would fit better with Tatum and Brown. Because, again, first of all, he's big. He's almost a pure, dare I say, point guard, even though he's more like built like a forward.
Oh, he's a huge point guard.
So
He got a great handle and a good distributor. He just cannot shoot the basketball.
His offense is near the hoop. They don't really have any sort of post presence. He can play high post, I think, and he can play low post, but ideally in the high post, I think it fits, and he's good defensively.
And he and Smart could battle for the supremacy of who's going to be the one that really wants to hold the title of fake tough guy. They both are tough, but it borders on okay, calm down.
I love the thought of them breaking up that locker room. So whether that's Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward, Smart I'd put on the list. Something's got to give in there. There's just, again, I know they're young. I know there's upside, but I also think it's not the right mix. There's
Murray's Bridges, that they were in the Eastern Conference Finals that year, and Danny turned over the roster and brought back only four of the 15 players that he had. So he's done this before. Let's see if he can do it again.
I'd love to see Danny's balls drop again. And show me Trader Danny and not this weird hoarder Danny.
I'm worried about the Brown-Smart dynamic. That one to me feels like two guys who want to fight for leadership, and neither one of them is really a leader.
Lee and Roslindale on the Pats. Hi, Lee.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I think I know Murray wants to shoot it down, but I think COVID might be a thing. I mean, unfortunately, I'm a Cowboys fan, and last year Zeke Elliott fumbled three times all year. This year he fumbled four times in the first six games. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, babe, you better hope that's what it is in Dallas. It's just COVID and not something that's far more insidious and infectious. It's just that you're just losers.
Is COVID why they didn't come to the defense of their quarterback who got cheap-shotted and knocked out of that game on Sunday, too?
Or that was vicious.
Gutless losers.
Seriously, and that defense, I'm sorry, to play defense that badly, you have to not try. Their defense is, they got lit up by the Redskins. I'm sorry, Washington.
I don't think it's COVID. Call me crazy. Harry in Swansea. Hi, Harry.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man.
My thing is, this Antonio Brown. What's the big deal? I mean, aren't there other similar characters in the league that we can name?
No.
Hunt from Kansas City?
Okay, he's bad. I mean, there's a couple.
What I'm saying is there's a couple, but at least Tom's trying to rehabilitate the guy. At least he's bringing in some people and maybe turn him into... I know it's
No, it's contrived is what it is, caller. I think that it's about him wanting to stick it to Belichick. So fine, you're so desperate to do that. There is part of me that respects that,
but
the Seahawks did. You know, I would get on Russell Wilson for the same reason, you know, because he was apparently lobbying for him too.
So I don't know if Antonio's the worst guy in the league. He's up there.
He's top three.
I mean, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, those are two good ones. I'm sure he can come up with one or two more, but he's in that echelon, Harry. So whether he's one or two or three or four, he's up there.
Oh, there's no question he is.
He's one of those guys. So, but Tom Brady's willing to sell his soul to stick it to Bill Belichick. And he also, look, I know there's some back, you know, he had him here and, you know, wants to rehabilitate him. He and Tony Robbins and all that bull crap, Murray. I know there's a little bit of a backstory, but it's really about the desperate search and the desperate quest to win another championship and stick it to Belichick and the Patriots, which I love. I'm all in favor of that, Tommy. No problem on that one.
I mean, he is so, like, this is what I sort of feel like is going on down there. And maybe to a fault, because Antonio Brown's a risk.
I was just going to say, though, like, you don't have enough pass catchers down there? You don't have enough, Tom? Between all those guys down there, you need more? So at this point, you say, are you risking upsetting the thing?
Yes, and even and along the way, Gronk has been resurrected.
Absolutely.
On top of it. And the other guy they have behind him, I know O.J. Howard's done. But Cameron Brate's a totally functional second tight end.
And Brady's throwing to this rookie.
Yes.
I forget his name. He's got his
number
little,
18, yeah.
He got his little Scotty Miller.
Yep.
You know, his little Edelman Welker pet. He's got it all.
He's even throwing a Fournette.
And you're dumping down on Fournette on third downs to convert.
I think Fournette had six catches on Sunday.
So that's not even you got the Jones is their lead back, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You got Fournette. You still got McCoy. Evans, Godwin, who I know is hurt, but it's just a finger. He'll be back. You're throwing to the rookie. You've got the Scotty Miller. You've got two tight ends. And you need more? I mean, that's a risk. He's just upsetting. He's risking upsetting the apple cart.
Yeah, totally. It is. That's the danger in this thing for Tampa, is that they're bringing in a complete pain in the ass, a bad guy who's going to want the ball. And now, look, from what I read, the contract is structured in such a way that none of his bonuses kick in or if they don't make the playoffs.
It's not a money thing.
Right?
It's not a money thing. It's a... I want the ball, and the guys start looking at each other sideways. That's the risk.
Yeah, it does feel, though, like they have leveraged him with the contract, which they didn't do here.
That's true. David in Boston, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm probably one of the few people I'm actually satisfied, other than signing Brian Hoyer, with the quarterback situation. The reason being they had two choices at the end of last year. One is keep Brady, pay him $50 to $60 million over 2 years, and have an even worse supporting cast than he would have, and I would have picked that, actually. And the second thing is, get rid of all the dead salary cap weight this year, see what you got, and roll into next year. So
why couldn't you do that with the
choices?
David, why couldn't you, you know, reset your roster, you know, blow out the bad money, and still have a quarterback this year? Why couldn't you do both?
I don't think they could have at that rate. But
sure,
I would have, look, I would have rather kept Brady. I think Kraft should have told Belichick, look, listen, I'm never going to overrule you, but Brady stays here till he's 50 years old if he wants. I don't care. I had 20 years of football heaven. I can live with some bad years, but.
Okay, you know, there's no excuse for what they did at quarterback.
No, and again, people keep wanting to excuse it.
I mean, I said yesterday, I'll say again, I will accept the roster reset. Every team has to go through it, whether there's a cap or not. Every team goes on a run, and the Pats have gone on a couple. But, you know, you grow old with good players, and you win championships, and then you have to reset your roster. I will forgive and accept the reset that is needed at all these different positions. At quarterback, when you had Brady, Garoppolo, and Brissett, and now 2 years later you have none and got basically nothing in return for it, there's no excuse for that.
No, massive mistake. And I'll tell you, with all due respect to the caller, because I understand what he's saying, 20 years of football heaven. I get it. Would you have been upset with 18?
No, but yeah, that too. But why does that mean then you automatically have to blow up your quarterback spot and not have a quarterback?
Right. So, right. So now you have to suck for however many years it's going to be. And again, I'm jumping ahead of it, but nonetheless. So would you have been unhappy with 18 and just to get ahead of it?
No. Again, so I would have kept Garoppolo too, but even short of Garoppolo. Why can't you have 20 years of bliss and manage the quarterback thing properly and have the next quarterback? Other teams have managed it. Why couldn't you manage it?
Totally.
So I'm sure we'll pick this up tomorrow, as we will the day after and the day after.
They butchered it. They did. They butchered it. I mean, willingly, you know, but they butchered it.
Here comes the final word.
Boston's home for sports. Zillion Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
Nobody. It was a big boy Tuesday, meaning Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal joined the show. With that comes the 10 questions around the league segment, which means you get a recap. Here we go.
Stop listening to Greg Bedard. He doesn't know diddly.
Number 10, will Mike McCarthy make it to year two in Dallas?
This year, no.
No, my question was, does he make it to year two? Does he get fired after the year?
No, I mean, what I meant to say is
yes.
If it's not McCarthy, who should be the next coach in Dallas?
Rex Ryan.
Oh, that's awful.
What team should Trevor Lawrence be rooting for to end up with the number one pick, big boy?
The Vikings. I think the stadium.
What's your favorite TV commercial airing during NFL games right now, Greg?
I really haven't seen any.
I think this question sucked.
What's the worst commercial airing during NFL games?
I hate Limu Emu in Doug. I forget what insurance company that is.
Doug.
Are the Bills Mafia? Is the Bills Mafia? Are they a bunch of tool bags? Or just good blue-collar fans who are a little goofy?
Tools.
Name the NFL teams, plural, that will never win as long as they have their current owner.
Cardinals and Bidwell, Bengals and the Brown family, Haslam with the Browns, Jerry Jones, the Ford family, Woody Johnson, and Dan Snyder.
Oh, that's a good one.
Last one, who's the most overrated quarterback, young or old, in the league right now? Most overrated QB?
Josh Allen.
Here comes the sex toy. The whole sex toy thing, that's pretty special.
Liberty.
That is, you know, call the Bills Mafia a bunch of tool bags. The freaking vibrators coming out of the stands is pretty good.
Yeah, it's special.
Well, I don't know if they're technically vibrating, but
no,
either way, I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Again, the Buffalo Bildos.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.